In seminary, I had a professor named Dr. Hip who taught us Holy Trinity class. And he said that the Holy Trinity is the one thing that you don't want to preach on as a priest, because it's the one thing you can screw up the easiest. You see, we're trying to describe the way God is, who he is in his essence. And all we have is vestiges of it, shadows of what it is. If you've ever seen the movie Interstellar, which came out a couple years ago now, it is. I was reading an article about it. The director painstakingly researched the science behind black holes so that he could accurately represent this black hole in the movie. And one of the problems with black holes for scientists is they can see the effects of the black hole on the outside of it, but they can't see inside of it because by its nature it sucks away all light. And so they just can't see anything inside of it. And the same is somewhat true of our Godhead. He's so magnificent, so grand, so far beyond our comprehension that we can see the outside of him and therefore infer things about the inside of him, but we can't see directly into God. Only in as much as he allows us to see or gives us ways of seeing into him. And God has given us those things. In fact, he's given us two primary images in creation to be able to see into him. Remember, God knows that you are a person who learns through your senses. In fact, those of you who are teachers or have had any exposure to teaching know that children often learn through different senses, their auditory learning or their kinetic learning by handling things. And God knows that. In fact, he created us that way. And so he wants to actually talk to us that way. That's why as Catholics, we use so many things that engage our senses, beautiful churches, things like incense, candles, symbols, colors, all to engage our senses in God. And so when God speaks to us, trying to reveal who he is, tell us about himself on this Holy Trinity Sunday, he's trying to engage our senses. And the first way in which he reveals himself to us is through creation. Now, on a very basic level, this happens with all of creation. You go out on a beautiful morning like today, and you see the sun, and you feel the breeze, and you think of good things, and you think of God. But his most poignant revelation of himself is in creation of the human person. If I wanted to maybe tell you something about my family, I might bring you a picture of them and say, here's my brother Joe, for example. Here's a picture of him. And you'd say, oh, he looks like you. Yes, go figure. And I would give you this picture of Joe, and he would represent Joe to you, right? You see, God wants to do a very similar thing in creation for us. He wants to give of himself a picture to us, a little photo, if you will, of God, so that we can remember him by, think of him. And what has he done? Well, what does Genesis 1:27 say? God created mankind in his image. An image, like a photo. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. So the existence of Adam and Eve are an image, a picture of God. In fact, it goes on to say in the very next verse, God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. In fact, we image the Trinity when a man loving a woman brings forth life. Notice there's three in each of those. Three persons, and yet a unity. And granted, it's an analogy. It breaks down. But it is meant to be a picture, a little window into who God is. This is why for us as Catholics, we do not feel that we have the right or even the ability to redefine the human family. Whether it be divorce or same-sex attraction or any other issue, we do not have the right or the power to redefine an image of God. In fact, how many of you would come into a church and say this image of divine mercy over here, a beautiful image of Jesus revealed to Sister Faustina, how many of you would walk up to it and deface it? None of you. None of you. We'd be horrified if anybody in our congregation got up and did anything to that image. If I walked in here on a Saturday afternoon and found that somebody had done something to that image, you know, we'd all be horrified. How could somebody deface an image of God? And yet, what do we do when we live outside the boundaries of the image that God has given us in man and woman? Whether this be cohabitation, contraception, same-sex union. And I get all the pastoral reasons behind that. I meet a lot of couples, for instance, who are living together before marriage because they've been through divorce and they think, you know what, if we make sure that this works before we get married, then, you know, we won't go through that same horror of divorce. Okay, you can understand the logic behind that. The statistics tell you it doesn't work. In fact, it makes you twice as likely to get divorced. But I can at least understand the thinking behind it. But we have no right. Just as none of you would deface this image of Jesus Christ, we can't deface the image of God in the human person and in the male and female relationship open to new life. To not be open to new life is like to say, for the Father and Son to say, we love each other, but we don't want the Holy Spirit. But this is also true of for you children, for you boys and girls here. You were given a commandment to obey your parents, right? Why? Because you are supposed to be in unity with them. If you are the offspring of your parents, just as the Holy Spirit is an eternal offspring of the Father and the Son, does the Holy Spirit ever rebel against the Father and the Son and say, I don't want to do what you want to do? No. No, the Holy Spirit's always cooperative with the Father and the Son. And boys and girls, that is your call too. To be cooperative with your parents in every instance. I always ask the kids in confession, kids, how many of your parents have ever asked you to jump off a bridge? And nobody in 7 years, 10 years as a priest, has ever said yes. Why? Parents only ask you to do good things, right? Cleaning your room is a good thing. Putting your toys away are good things. And your parents have never asked you to do a bad thing. Why would you not want to cooperate with them? Well, because sometimes we're selfish. And the Holy Trinity reveals to us through the creation of the human family that we are not made for selfishness, but made for self-gift. The problem with this whole image of Adam and Eve is that the fall happened, right? And this image of Adam and Eve becomes distorted. And the human relationship between man and woman and family becomes distorted. We see that very clearly in our times. And so what Jesus did is he gave us a second image. Not that the first is totally gone. In fact, he tells the Pharisees in Matthew 5 that in the beginning it was not so and tries to restore our image of the male-female relationship in the human family. But he's also given us another beautiful model to follow. For example, let's say you walked in the church and it was your first time ever walking into this church and you saw a giant cut in that image of divine mercy over there. Now, you might assume if it was your first time ever seeing that image, ever walking into our church, you might assume, well, I guess that's the way it's supposed to be, right? Now, you and I know different because you've seen it a bunch of times. But really, put yourselves in the shoes of somebody who'd never been here before. Say it had a big black mark on it. You might think, well, that the artist put it there, right? Guys, that's what we're born into. We're born into a male-female relationship and an existence in the human family that is marred by sin. We walk in and we see the image broken and we think, oh, that's the way it's supposed to be. And so this is why Jesus Christ tells us in Corinthians that he has given us another image for marriage and another image of the Trinity. And that is Christ's love for his church. Christ being the archetype, if you will, for the husband. The church being the bride. In fact, we often call the church the bride of Christ. And who is the offspring? Well, brothers and sisters, when Christ's love for his church is reciprocated, new life should be coming about in us, both through this baptismal font and through our celebration of the sacraments. When you walk out of confession and you feel that new life rushing upon you, when you receive Holy Communion and you realize that new life is now existing inside of you. And I can tell you as a priest who stands in the person of Christ, not that I am ever worthy to do so, but we say that the priest operates in the person of Christ. I'm here to love my bride. In fact, why do priests in the Latin Rite not take a bride? Because I desire to serve this bride. It's what makes leaving so hard. It's like somebody has come to you and said, well, you have to leave your wife and your children and go find a new bride. You see, God has given us this image in the church of Christ's love for his people and his people's love for him, bringing about new life to remind us that that is who God is. That's what the human relationship is supposed to be about. And what's so beautiful is that in this Eucharist today, you have divine life implanted inside of you. Just as a husband and wife is open to new life being conceived inside of them, God, through his love, Jesus Christ's love in the church, plants new life inside of you. Both of these images, marriage and Christ's love for his church bringing about new life, are little pictures, little windows into the love of God, into what he wants to reveal to us about himself. There's a beautiful line in Scripture where God says that I found delight in the human race. How many of you ever think of yourselves as being delightful to God? I don't know about you, but I grew up with good old Catholic guilt, and I don't think a lot about being delightful to God. I think about being a pain in his rear most of the time. And yet that's not what Scripture teaches us, is it? It says that he delights in you. Why? Because when he holds you, he holds a picture of himself. Now, this is hard for us because I don't know about you. I hate my own pictures, right? Who loves having their picture taken? Only narcissistic people, right? And kids, which are narcissistic people. But who likes to have their picture taken, right? And yet, God sees a picture of himself in his creation, and he delights in it. I think the closest analogy I can think of is holding one of my nieces or nephews. It's the closest thing I have to blood. And I hold them, especially when they're a little baby, and they're so beautiful and so simple. And you just look in their eyes, and if they're not screaming at you or making a mess in their diaper, you're looking at them and thinking, how delightful, right? How delightful to just stare in their eyes. And when they smile at you or look at you. Guys, that experience is just a taste of what God sees in us. What God sees in you. Because when he looks at you, He sees a picture of himself. He sees an image of himself. When he looks at this church, this parish of Christ the King, he sees an image of himself. Christ loving his church loving him and bringing forth new life. Do you realize that you are a reflection of the divine, a picture of the Holy Trinity? That's who God made you to be. I want to leave you these words today from St. Leo the Great. Christian, acknowledge your dignity and become a partner in the divine nature. Refuse to return to the old baseness of degenerate conduct. Remember the head of the body of which you are a member. Recall that you were rescued from the power of darkness and brought out into God's light and kingdom. By the mystery of baptism, you were made the temple of the Holy Spirit. Do not put such a desitant to flight from your lowly acts and subject yourself once more to the devil's workings, because your purchase money is the blood of Christ. Because he shall judge you in truth, who ransomed you in mercy. He shall judge you in truth, who ransomed you in mercy, who with the Father and the Holy Spirit reigns forever and ever.